Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. This is Tom LeComp.
And I'm Gavin Durson. And we're joined again today by none other than Mr.
David Toth.
That's right. We welcome David back.
Cool.
Tom, you've got a topic you want to throw out today?
Well, I have a quote that's been in my mind for this past week since I read it on the internet. And this quote comes from the Baptist Press News, and it's this kind of a summary article about the recent Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting. And it's a quote from Dr. Albert Moeller, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, of which I attended. And here's the quote. I'll just read it to you, and then that's going to be a segue for a discussion. Here's the quote. Quote, "A generation is coming that was never deceived by cultural Christianity," said Moeller, describing how previous generations felt a social and professional compulsion to attend church regularly. "Every single new believer is going to be hard won by the old continual task of telling people the gospel story." And the reason that quote just kind of stuck in my mind is you know, I've seen it happen over the past 20, 25 years, how, you know, we've been at the top of the slippery slope towards a post-Christian society for a long time. Now I feel like we're halfway down that slope and gaining speed. We're no longer a Christian society in the United States, even though I think God is still at work. But the cultural Christianity that I think Dr. Moeller alludes to, that in the past, and what we've all, you know, I've grown up with it. You know, you were expected to go to church. When I grew up, you were expected to go to church. I think a much higher percentage went to church. You know, whether you called yourself, you know, a born again Christian or not, you went to church. That's just not the way it is now. I don't know what the percentage is of Americans that actually attend a church.
Well, I can actually tell you what it is for this region. I looked this stuff up and I came across a study, actually the Catholic Church had done, and this is, of course, any denomination, but on any given Sunday here in Lexington or Fayette County, the number, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was, and this was 10 years ago, mind you, this is the most recent one, I think it was 8% of the population on, wow. You just randomly pick a Sunday, they'll go to church, you know. And then if you ask, I've seen various studies where if you ask the question, well, how many people go regularly to church, you know, they may define that twice a month, you know, maybe 20% or something. Yeah. But that's any church.
But it's low.
Yeah.
It's lower than it was,
yeah,
you know, a generation ago, much lower. So the question remains, let me reframe it. I said in an earlier podcast that what attracted me to the house church model, simple church model, if you want to call it a model, that's not very organic to call it a model, but it is a model, is the missional aspect of it. And whether you like it or not, North America is a post-Christian society, and Christians today should probably just treat it as if we're on the mission field. We're never going to get that back, the society that we had. I don't think we're going to get it back. So we have to try something different. What do you all think about that?
Well, we are more of a post-Christian society. But Tom, I don't think that that's all bad.
Right.
I think that perhaps, and I'm old enough to look further back than you guys are, but I think there was a day when culture and Christianity really did kind of get mixed up. And so if you were an American, most people considered you to also be a Christian.
Right.
in the day that we live in right now, that, of course, is not true. And there's a sense in which I'm okay with that,
mm-hmm.
because it allows us to get together in a home, in a neighborhood, and relate to our next-door neighbors apart from denominational, apart from denominational pressures, expectations. We live in a day where the workplace rarely expects that the employees are churchgoers. That's okay, because the last thing we would want are for people to follow a faith for wrong reasons.
Right.
Or out of pressure or manipulation or expectations that are not biblical or that God wouldn't be pleased with. And so the positive side is, yes, we have to relate what it is to be a follower of Jesus in my life. That's what's really important. I need to be able to communicate that to my friends, to my neighbors, allow them to see what a life looks like that's being lived for Christ, as opposed to becoming a part of a group, part of a denomination, or part of an organized religion. The person really has an opportunity to see what it means to follow Jesus. And so I'm not lamenting that the U.S. is no longer considered to be a Christian nation. That doesn't really bother me, because God's alive. Jesus is doing lots of neat things, mm-hmm. in our culture, in our day. And we get to help people that don't understand that connect with Christ.
Yeah. We're not asking people to conform to a church member role, whatever that looks like now, or whatever it used to look like. That's not
right.
what we're asking people, yeah. to follow Christ and be conformed in His image, and,
yeah.
and that's going to look different in the 21st century than it did in the middle of the 20th century.
You know, and just one thought that kind of just comes to my mind as I hear you all talk, I think maybe talked about this before. I generally don't tend to put this up at the top of the reason why I enjoy simple church, but I think it is instructive to think that, you know, the organized church in America has been extended a lot of privileges and a lot of, you know, it's been able to kind of do a lot of what it's been able to do and operate the way that it's been able to operate, largely in part to the fact that the majority of the people were Christians, if mm-hmm. nothing else, by culture. And so
mm-hmm. yeah.
I think it's yet another one of those reasons why this work that we're all committed to is important, is because the reality that it's here in some parts of America already, and it's only going to get worse or better, depending on how you look at it, I guess, for people, is that structure and that particular way of thinking about church, with all the privileges and things that our population has bestowed upon it, is going to go away more and more and more. And we, you know, part of what I think we're committed to here is rethinking that, so that we can align ourselves in such a way that if, you know, we were a communist country that we're killing Christians because they were following Christ, that the church could still go on and move on. And so God forbid that day ever come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's, you know, it just reminded me yet of another reason why I think this is important.
I can remember as a young man talking to someone about Christ. Oftentimes the first questions they would ask is, well, what church do you go to? And what time is the service? And what programs does the church offer? But in today's world, if you're talking to someone who is a young person who's not a believer, those questions are not asked. And that's refreshing, because they really want to know, what's it like? Who's this Jesus that you talk about?
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to follow Him? What are His expectations? And so more quickly, you get to talk about the real important aspects of faith, as opposed to the logistical stuff.
I kind of was reminded of that a couple Sundays ago. We were meeting, our simple church was getting together at the skate park, and there's a young boy that's been coming down there. He showed up regularly. It kind of took interest in him because I'm thinking to myself, man, this kid, I asked him where he lived. He said he lived across town, and he skated to the park, and he was there, first guy there. He's been there every week for the last several months, but it just shocked me, one, because he was as young as my son. I would never let my son head across Lexington on a skateboard. But I pulled him aside after his other day, and I just asked him. I said, hey, has anybody ever told you about what Jesus did? And he just looked at me, and he was just like, no. He's been coming to skate church or simple church group there and hearing about it, but he never, I mean, he just literally, here's a young boy, you know, 11 years old, and he really had never, he didn't know anything about Jesus, you know, and so I got to share that with him, you know, and there's just kind of a reminder, you know, it's like that, man, that's probably a lot of 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old boys, they just, because they don't have a mom or dad that went, you know, they may have know enough to say something about Christmas or something about Easter, but beyond understanding who he was, why he came, what he came to do, that he died, it was for their sins, the gospel story that you referred to, I mean, they just have not heard that.
Yeah. It's the same with international students. I mean, they come here and their perception of the United States is, you know, the United States is a Christian nation, and a Christian nation looks like what you see on TV. So, you know, the popular shows like Friends, Desperate Housewives, you know, those kinds of shows. That's what they think we're like, and that's what they think Christianity is. So when they come here and they meet a Christian, you know, a genuine follower of Christ, they're blown away. They're shocked, you know, by how we act and then what we say to them. And you know, a lot of them, whether they accept it or not, their initial reaction is, this is not what we expected. So and I'm thinking, just like that young skateboarder, that's what we're going to run into more and more just here around us.
Yeah, I think so. Even in the news media, you hear today that our country is divided. You know, there's the political division that we hear about. There's the division between the social liberal mentality and a social conservative mentality. And yeah, there is a growing division, but at the core, the real division that is becoming more apparent is the difference in worldview between people that follow Christ and look to the scriptures as being truth, and those who look elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is at the core of what is erupting in the political arena, in the educational arena, etc., as being a great division.
Yeah, I agree. So what challenges do those things hold for people engaged in discipleship, whether they do it through a simple organic model or a traditional model? What does he mean where Dr. Mahler says every single new believer is going to be hard won by the old continual task of telling people the gospel story?
Well, the thing that comes to my mind when you're talking is just what Jesus said. You know, he said, you know, some people say, well, the harvest will be ready, and, you know, as I'm paraphrasing, in a few months from now or whatever. But he says, I say, look up.
Yeah.
You know, the harvest is plentiful. It's ripe. It's ready. And I don't know that it, honestly, that it should change anything, because that's always been the case since day one when Jesus said those words. He said, look up. The harvest is ripe. And I believe that the call is still the same. I don't know that it's any more urgent, because Jesus also said that there's only going to be a few people that were going to find that narrow road, that most people, whether it's 2014 or 1914, most people are going to be on that wide road that leads to destruction. And so I think that I think it's just to heed that call, continue to heed that call, and maybe to be aware, like Dave said, I think that we, or be encouraged that it might actually be a little bit more refreshing and easier now, because you're not going to have to peel back layers of cultural Christianity that confuse the gospel with living right and being an American and going to church and doing these right things.
Yeah,
so,
you
know, I think that's the encouragement, and the call is still the same, but knowing our audience might be important.
You know, I think about what Dr. Mueller said there, and I think he's absolutely right on. And in the context of a house church, an encouraging comment to make is that in the house church, unlike a larger organized traditional church where somebody might say, well, we've got an evangelism committee. Well, in the house church, you get together and sit around the living room and look around, and we are the evangelism committee, everybody. And we all have the opportunity to be equipped and to become ready to communicate that wonderful story of what Christ did to provide salvation, and we get a chance to tell that story to our neighbors and friends, etc. So in the house church, you look around and say, we are God's evangelism methodology.
We are. And not just Sunday morning, but every day of the week.
Yeah.
24/7. So, very good. I just wanted to bounce that across you guys and see what you all thought.
Yep. Thanks for joining us. Again, we want to go ahead and keep mentioning here. You've heard us mention it before, unless this is your first one, but we are going to be having a Simple Church conference coming up in September. And Dave, Tom, and myself will be helping to host and lead that. And we hope that you can join us. It's at Asbury Seminary. They have a hotel there, a real nice hotel, and we'll be using a meeting room or two there. And you can find all the details about that at simplechurchalliance.com. And you can sign up and register. Space in the hotel is limited, but we'll help you go there and make plans to join us and bring your spouse. I guess I would mention that this is probably one of the few things we do where it is mostly, it would be for adults only. We have teenagers, we've had a few of those, and because certainly we've seen teenagers and want to encourage teenagers to think about starting Simple Church Ministries, but there's not going to be necessarily any child care for this. This would be a retreat for you and your spouse if you're married, and hope you'll come and be refreshed and encouraged. So look forward to seeing you there.
September 20th, 21st.
Yep. Well, that does it, I guess. Thanks for joining us again. David, if you want to get in touch with David, you can go to his website, following2lead.org. Following2lead.com. Thanks for joining us again, and we'll be back again soon with another podcast.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a Simple Church Podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.